Father, thank you for the good word of God. And Lord, we just give you permission to speak to us today. Grow us up in all aspects into you, Lord, so we can go out today and be a blessing. We want to be a blessing. Proverbs 11:25 says, he who waters others gets watered in the process. And so we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So we are, if you're new around here, we're going through the Gospel of John. We started back in January. We've made it as far as John chapter 5. And so what I want to do is pick it up in verse 18 and 19, just for a little of the background. Maybe I didn't give that one this week. Is there a slide that's verse 18 and 19? It's the one, yeah, I didn't. That's my bad, guys. It's the one that says why Jesus is having to defend himself here. It says here, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Jesus because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his father, making himself out to be equal with God. And so Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, that's what he does. And so that's verse 18 and 19. So we're going to pick it up in 41 and 42. He's still explaining to them how he's one with the Father. John 5, 41, and this is the Amplified Classic. I love this. Jesus said, I receive not glory from men. Now look at this. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. This is fantastic. But I know you, and I recognize and understand you do not have the love of God in you. And he had told them prior, remember last week, they didn't even have the word abiding in them. They had memorized the scripture, first five books, they'd memorized it. And he said, because you don't know who I am, the word doesn't even live in you. Because he's the living word. He's all the scriptures made manifest. But I want to point that out to you here this morning, that Jesus doesn't crave, he doesn't need, he doesn't receive any glory or honor from men. That's powerful. Let's look at verse 43. I have come in my Father's name and with his power, and you do not receive me. Your hearts are not open to me. You give me no welcome. But if somebody else came in their own name, in his own power, and with no other authority but himself, you would receive him and give him your approval. Wow. You ever watch sports in this country? How many of them beat their own breast, tout their own name, how amazing they are? That's what he's talking about. Man will follow. Somebody come in their own name, their own ability, you follow them. But because I come bearing witness of the Father and not myself, I refuse to glorify myself. You have nothing to do with me. What an indictment on just carnal human nature, if you will. The word name here, bears, comes in his own name, means if he comes in his own essence, if he comes in his own strength, if he comes in his own will, of his own will and authority. I mean, think about this. Who's ever done more for humanity or life on this planet than Jesus Christ? And yet he refuses to bear witness of himself. Lord, I'm like you. This is convicting. Highly convicting. We have professional influencers in this country. They're all around us, and yet none of them have influenced this world or anyone more than Jesus Christ has influence. And I'm reminded how salt adds flavor. Salt influences the flavor so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. And so you are, Jesus said, light and salt in this world. So as you do, make sure you bear witness of him and not yourself, so that they can taste and see that he is good. You can't save them. Only he can. Let's look at verse 44. How can you believe who receive honor from each other or from man, and you don't seek the honor that comes from the only God? So when you eat this passage, this scripture, and look at the word meanings, and for those of you who don't know what eat the word is, just talking about Strong's there and some of the filters we use. But this word honor isn't what we're told to honor each other in Romans 12:10. It says outdo each other in honoring each other. This is an honor called doxa, D-O-X-A in the Greek. This belongs to God. Doxa is glory, majesty, deserves reverence, radiance, and splendor. And that doesn't belong to any man. Isn't it interesting how we see example after example when man is worshipped or woman is worshipped on a stage or a platform, an arena, rock concert, whatever it is, man, they struggle. They struggle. How many times does it end in suicide? How many times does it end in drug addiction, wayward living? Man is not designed to be worshipped. I remember Lenny LeBlanc, who's a great Christian songwriter, but before he was in that, he had written a secular song that was a top 20 song. And he talked, when he came to Grace many years ago, he talked about how man is not designed for worship. And yet in the music industry, the entertainment industry, it happens time and time again, but we do not wear it well. We are not made to be the center of all things. That job is already taken. He's the center of all things. And we are here to bear witness of another. And just be prepared. They may not receive you because you're not here beating your own breast. Beating your chest, I guess, better. But doxa is glory and majesty, deserves reverence, radiance, and splendor. And Jesus is trying to help us here in this little dialogue. Number one, and if you want to write them down, you can. I encourage you to. I try to put them on Facebook as often as I can. Number one, Jesus says, you will struggle believing, trusting, and obeying God when you seek the praise of men. If you need people's approval, you will struggle to hear his voice, discern what he really wants you to do, because there's so much of that tug on you to please somebody. And you need to be more concerned about pleasing your Father and doing exactly what he says for you to do than you are about offending some person. Amen, somebody. I'm going to say it again. Number one, Jesus says you're going to struggle believing, trusting, and obeying God when you seek the praise of men. Number two, if you need the praises of men, you will succumb to the rejection of men. I think that's what happens a lot with the pop stars, the rock stars. I mean, yes, they get lauded, and then they get this thing called critics. And if you're addicted to the praise of men, you will succumb to the rejection of men. And then I think the opposite is true. If you're vulnerable to the rejection of men, then you become vulnerable to the praise of men. And be careful when everybody speaks well of you all the time. Number three, well, let me add this. Let Christ be the source of your identity and your acceptance. Okay? I'm not rejected in Christ, and that's enough. I am pleasing to my Heavenly Father, and that is enough. So I don't have to chase pleasing and being accepted by everybody else. Number three, the third thing here, Jesus remained sensitive to his Father's voice because he wasn't held by the approval or disapproval of men. I'll say it again. Jesus remained sensitive to his Father's voice because he wasn't held by the approval or disapproval of men. When you get overly concerned about other people's voices and their opinions, and take it from me, I have been here. This is definitely something that the Lord works with me on, because I really do love people. And I think we all want to be loved and accepted. We're wired for it. But be careful who your source for it is. I'm going to say it again. Your young people need to know this. You have children and grandchildren. They're wired for acceptance. There is a need for approval, and that I'm okay. I am loved. I am liked. But it's got to come from God first. And I would say even your spouse, friends, so, you know, communion cup size. But you got a 5-gallon bucket here that only God can fill. And so you got to get it from him. Not saying we can't derive joy and approval and acceptance from our spouse or from close friends and, you know, church family, but the 5-gallon bucket belongs to God. So don't be deceived there and get overly concerned with everybody else's voices and everybody else's opinion. And this is why Jesus could do what he did. I mean, he took a lot of flack. And then they beat him up, spit on him. They lied about him all the time. What would he have done had he been addicted to people pleasing? I mean, man, he wouldn't have done it, right? He would have caved. Wow. And it's not just the rejection of men, it's the praise of men too, because in John 12, the Greeks came to seek him out and basically build him a library in his own name. We're going to take your teachings all over the world. And he never even talked to them. I believe, if I remember right, it's in John 12, around 24, Peter and John, I think, is who they talked to. So they told him, and he told them, Peter and John, unless a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it'll be the only one. But if it dies, it'll bear much grain. So he knew his assignment wasn't to be a famous teacher, that all the world would know his teaching. And how amazing, because the Greeks were picking up on it, and rightfully so. He said stuff that blew people's minds. They even said three different times, this guy speaks as one who has authority. Like there's backing to what he says. Because it's true. Reality was backing him. But even that's the praise side of it. So we can't place too much value on other people's voices and opinions, whether it's, you know, against us or it's for us. Amen, somebody? I mentioned earlier we can all struggle in this because we're made for love and acceptance and approval, but you got to get it from the right vine. You got to get it from the John 15 vine, Jesus Christ. You were made derivative. You're a branch. If Jesus says you're a branch, he doesn't lie. That what do branches do? They derive life from another source. So the key is, if you want to live and have life and bear fruit after the vine's kind, then what do? You abide in it, in him. You stay connected to him. You live him as your reality and your source. So we need to do that. We're going to live vertically connected to Christ at all times because of our deep felt need as human beings to be accepted. I love what's happening at 612 students. I love it. I mean, so many of them are figuring this out. We've all been there. Middle school, challenging. Am I right? My daughter, Noelle, to this day says the worst 3 years of my life were 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But they are figuring out, I can go to school full, F-U-L-L. I can go full. I can go whole in Christ. That I'm accepted in the Beloved. And even if they all reject me today, I'd like for you to like me. I just don't need for you to like me. And so to watch young people really start to see that by revelation is powerful. It's powerful. So many times they've thought that they lacked, you know, because the lie of lack is there. Like, I'm not enough, not pretty enough, you don't have the right clothes, whatever it is, you know, in middle school and high school. But because of that lack deception, they fear what other people think. When you have shalom, when you have wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, you are complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, you realize, you know what? I'm not missing anything. I'm not afraid of what other people think of me because I know what the Lord thinks of me. That's the word peace in the Old Testament. Shalom. Wholeness. It's God's gift of wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Irene is the Greek word for peace. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Amen, Will. I want to live in the secret place. I want to live in the safe place where neither friend nor foe can damage my soul. Doesn't mean we don't feel. I mean, we have emotions. But there's a difference between feeling something and then being overthrown. We teach a tool in discipling around here called the identity triangle. And in the identity triangle, it's diagnostic. You know, the Father is at the top of the triangle. He gives us our value and our worth and our identity. The right corner is identity, so there's this arrow that flows from the Father to our identity. And then on the bottom to the left, attitudes and actions. This is a great tool because if your attitudes and actions are off, you're full of frustration, defeat, maybe anger, resentment, unforgiveness, maybe something like that, you can tell something other than Christ is now sourcing you. Because the fruit of being sourced by Him is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. And so always, and we have a little box on the diagram that helps, always be aware of what's in your box or who is in your box. And it can be positive words, of course, or your child's grades or whatever, your job. It can be good, proactive things, but it can be negative as well. So if you put your child in your box and you make straight A's, you're good for a while until he makes an F. And then now we've revealed that your child was in your box, was sourcing you. And we need to be sourced by Christ so that we can what? Deal properly with a child in perspective, whether they're making A's, C's, or F's. We need to be able to deal properly in perspective, in truth, in reality, with their perspective. Amen? All right, let's look at this one, John 12. I love this, 42 and 43. Jesus says, and yet, in spite of all this, many even of the leading men, the authorities and nobles, believed and trusted in him. But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it, for fear that if they should acknowledge him, they would be expelled from the synagogue, kicked right out of church. Ours may say, yeah, we may lose our job. Ours may say that. For they loved, why? Why was it a problem? Because they loved the approval and praise and glory that comes from men instead of the glory that comes from the only God. They valued their credit with men more than their credit with God. Yeah, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Many politicians start off more than likely with a good heart. But what happens is, they start denying Christ. They start denying the values of Christendom as they go because they love the praises and the money of men more than that of the Lord. But how many of you know each of us should be more concerned about offending God by not saying what He's asking us to say than we are about offending people or losing our job? I mean, who's Lord, right? Who's Lord? Prayer Shield yesterday, we were praying for the election and for our country. And Mike Kovalchek, who works out at Tinker, he said, what an amazing observation. He said, I've worked at Tinker 24 years, and I have seen many Christians in the military remain silent on their job to the point where when somebody told me later, that person down the hall, he's a Christian, he's like, I had no idea. He said, but what I've noticed is when one or two will actually stand up and be unashamed that, yeah, I love the Lord. And I love the Lord more than this job or anything else in this world. It's catalytic for some of the others. It works like that in school, too. When you have peer pressure at school that Christians are all bad or whatever, if one or two stand up, you'll find out there's actually more around you. Mike said, we need to honor the Lord with the positions that He's given us. That's the key. Now, you think you got the job all by yourself and it was all you and your amazing intelligence, then that's one thing. But if you understand that the Lord is your source and He's placing you places, then you need to honor Him where He places you. Amen. Because He said, faith that is silent is dead. And we were reminded of Revelation 12:11, I think it was Will, that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we did not love our job even unto death. We didn't love our lives even unto death. What do you think the comforter is for? So when you're uncomfortable, you tap into him and you do what he says. You say what he asks you to say. We had another word that goes along with it. Those who've been given authority in Christ, right? Jesus said, "Heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go disciple." Those who've been given the authority to change life on this planet shouldn't be the loudest complainers about life on this planet. Isn't it interesting? If you're not careful as Christians in America, it's like we're the largest group griping all the time, yet we're the ones who've been given authority. Now, granted, we can't save anybody, so I'll give you that. But boy, we can be about our Father's business, and we can love well, and we can demonstrate who Christ is. You know, everywhere you go, preach the gospel, and then if necessary, use words. I think the words are important, but I'm telling you, your actions actually speak louder than your words. And I don't want it to ever be that here's a Grace Church person who works at Tinker or works at Walmart or wherever, and nobody has any idea that you love Jesus more than anything. That shouldn't be a secret. Come on, somebody. Jesus often rebuked the religious leaders because they were driven by the need to garner man's acceptance. They loved the best seats in the house, right? They loved to be seen of men. If they were fasting, they'd throw dirt on themselves and look all haggard so people would be like, "Man, he's suffering, I tell you." They loved the praise of men. But look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I still please men, I'm not even a bondservant of Christ." Well, that's a strong word right there. The truth is, what other people think about you doesn't even matter. When you stand before God, guess where all those other opinions are going to be? Even your own opinion of yourself will not matter when you stand before God. Think about that. Not only does your friend and foe, none of those voices will be there standing. It's you and God. Not even your view and opinion of yourself will matter in that moment. He is the righteous judge. He is the one who can discern and know whether or not we've believed him and pursued him. I'm helping somebody, aren't I? Pursued him and believed him more than any other voice in this world. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:18 for your notes says, "For it is not those who commend themselves who are approved, but those that the Lord commends are approved." 10:18. "Desire for the approval of man runs deep in our flesh. Insecurity," which is this, I put it on the board for you. I've battled this. I'm sure we all do in some measure. Do we have that next slide there, guys, on insecurity? Insecurity is a feeling of doubt or uncertainty about oneself or one's abilities. It's often characterized by defensiveness. Man, you ever defend yourself? What is that? Is it Jesus on the main line? It's often characterized by defensiveness, a lack of confidence. Look at this one. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of judgment from other people. Yeah, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's hilarious. That's a really smart phone. It just takes over. Yeah, it's confusing us by the minute. So in the flesh, insecurity is there. And that's why you got to have a plumb line, an anchor. Somebody who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody, listen to me, who doesn't get new information about you every day and change his mind. I just helped a lot of people right there. God doesn't get new information about you, you know, tomorrow so he can be like, okay. Jethita, she was good. I loved her yesterday. I don't even like her today. He's not getting new information. He's your plumb line. He's your anchor. He's your steadfast fortress that will keep you from insecurity. The opposite of this is shalom. Man, spend time with the Lord. Spend time sitting in His presence, understanding, thanking Him what it is to be whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body. And again, your derivative doesn't mean in and of yourself you're everything. You're whole and complete because of Him. In Christ, you're complete. Because in this world, you'll have situations where somebody didn't love you the way they should have. They didn't give you the love that you should have had. But does that mean you're void of love? No, He's it. He's all the love. You'll never lack. Somebody didn't forgive you that should have forgiven you. You begged them. You apologized. You repented. Do you walk away now with that burden? No, you did what the Lord asked you to do. And you are completely forgiven and whole in Him.